Hi everyone, welcome to another episode of the Let's Stew Afraid podcast. How are you doing today, Yvette?
I'm well. I am here being a mom, a podcaster, and my kid is sick, so I'm home with my kiddo, and I'm thankful to be home so that I can be home when they need to be or when they need to be sick. That doesn't even come out right, okay? Sorry, I can't talk today.
It makes sense.
So I can be here working while they're sick or be here with them at least. I hated when I was working and I couldn't. I don't know. It's not that I couldn't take a day off, but that pressure, it's like, oh, I'm le estoy faltando a alguien, or like just guilty. I don't know why. Like I was just always wanted to be 100 with everyone, and I just like it's overwhelming. So I do my best, one day at a time, and I just kept them home today. I usually don't unless they're like super dying sick, but today he didn't sleep well, so I kept them home. How about you? How are you doing today?
I'm good. Yesterday we were off. The kids didn't have school. It was like a local holiday. So it was just really nice. I feel like the 3 day, I wish every weekend was a 3 day weekend. I just feel like we, I don't know, like we're just so much more refreshed and I'm not as tired. And every week should just be a 4 day week. So it should be like,
Used to say that.
like we should only have to, go to work or go to school 4 days a week. It would be awesome if we could just do that. So maybe we could start like a petition or something.
Used to say that. I used to complain because wherever you're working depends on what your work week looks like. But in Mexico, I just feel like it's so awesome that they have the 2 hour gap. So like they can go take a they can eat and take a nap and then go back to work. And then it's like they have that siesta time. I think there's some countries in Asia that also do the same thing, which I thought was super cool that like we
And
have similar lifestyles.
Sorry, and Europe too. I know they have a lot of places in Europe do that as well, and I think it's awesome too that you have that little break during the day. I think it's like 2 to 4 or something in Mexico. Yeah, like 2 to 4 p.m. And you're right, you get to go home, you get to like eat, have a little nap if you want, relax, eat dinner with your family. It's great.
I feel like that also helps with like parents that work. Like if both parents work, then they have some time to their kids, even if it's just eating, sitting down. 'Cause here, like I don't know that I don't think we have like a tradition to sit and eat with the kids all the time because we're running after sports, we're doing their homework, we're like just a million things. Like I feed them, but sometimes we earlier and sometimes we after them. It just depends on what our schedule looks like. And I'm like, over there, they have a dedicated schedule where they're like 2 to 4, we're all together, we're eating at least for 30 minutes or an hour, and it's every day. Like here, we barely see family, I guess. Like I see my own kids, but that's beyond, like, I'm lucky to have my parents near me as well. But a lot of people don't have family here, and I'm like, that's so sad.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's very, I don't know, it's like this whole different world or this whole different mentality here. I feel like family is not as important or at the center of everything as it would be in different countries, which is kind of crazy because I feel at the same time it's like they want us to have kids and they want us to procreate. But then it's like once they're here, there's really not a lot of, I don't know, like there's not a lot of emphasis on family and spending time with your family. Like we don't really get a lot of, what is it, medical leave after you give birth? Yeah, like medical leave or, bonding time with their kids after you have the kids or, a lot of programs in place for like childcare and things like that. So it's totally different. There's just not really like a village. I know we've talked about that a lot. I feel like there really isn't a village here.
It's really interesting because I'm like, they want us to have, like you're saying, the kids, but there's no system. Like also like people that work, there's no daycare in place. Like there's other countries that have like what is it called? Like partnerships with daycares or places where they can easily access daycare. Here I feel like you have to go out of your way to do it, and then finding somebody that you trust is like you don't even know where they're going at the end of the day. And when you do like home care or like small little businesses, and I'm like, I don't know. Like for me, it's really hard, and I especially here that you don't see that community. Like you do see community vibes here in Sonoma County. I feel like we do have some kind of support. After we went through the fires and those disasters that we did go through, I feel like community really did come together. But then at the same time, like just the vibe across the nation is just there's a lot of divide and a lot of different beliefs, which is cool that we can all come together. But at the same time, like there's not a much support for one another or finding somebody that you can actually trust. That's for me is big. And in Mexico, everybody feeds everybody. If you don't have a job, if you don't have family, if you don't like, vente a un taco, vente a esto, like They'll feed you, and I don't know how they do it because honestly, a lot of them are very poor. But they have taco con frijol, and you know, it's something beautiful that you see, and it's very selfless. And a lot of the times, like our culture gets put down for like, ¿cómo te diré? Like chismoso or criticones. But that's one thing that I love about Mexico, that you go there and they will be so nice to you, even if they don't know you. They will cater to you. They will feed you. Like it's just so beautiful to see.
Yeah, I mean it is really beautiful. I think of like my husband's family, and I don't not like his aunts and uncles, but like his mom, his dad, his siblings, and they all really take care of one another. I mean, my husband and all of his siblings that are here. So there's four of them here that live in the United States. The other four live in Mexico. But the four that live here call their mom every single day. Every single day. And I think that's so beautiful. Because it's like it, even if it's just like for a couple minutes, like, hi mom, how are you? You know, and like if for some reason my husband doesn't call my mother-in-law, she will call him. And she'll be like, you know, you didn't call me today. Like, what's going on? You know, like it's every single day they have communication. They always show up for one another. If I call them on a Tuesday and I'm like, hey guys, like, do you guys want to come have dinner? Oh yeah, they'll come. They show up. If one of them needs a ride to the airport, like they always figure it out. They're always there for one another. And I don't see that as much with my family. And we were all raised here. Like, I can't really count on my siblings for a lot, and I know that they're really busy and I love them, but at the same time, I'm like, why doesn't anyone talk about how hard it is when you grow up and these people that you spent so much of your time with and you feel so bonded with because you guys are blood related, and then you grow up and you don't even talk to them,
Yeah, it's very true. I see
and
that.
that,
I mean, with
yeah.
my family, thank God, like I think it was because my oldest brother helped raise a lot of us that he's like, oh, he was always checking up on us. What were we doing? This and that. Like we're really tight knit. But after that, like I see families around us and they don't have that. And it's like we need to come back and realize that we're the like come to it, like we have to have one of each other's backs because at the end of the day, si no somos nosotros, no, nadie va a hacerlo. Like we're not in Mexico here. Like in Mexico, you can count on anybody. Like you can count on a stranger, honestly. And here, it's like you don't know who's gonna have your back. Ain't nobody gonna feed you. That's what like when I tell my mom, like I feel really bad because I have uncles and family that don't have papers. So like when they get to retirement age, like what's gonna happen, right? Because they can't get Social Security. So who's gonna feed them? Like I'm not saying that I don't want to feed them, right? Because it's really hard. Everything here is very expensive. So how are they going to make their ends meet? Are they going to work till they die? Like what are their goals or what are their thoughts? Because a lot of the time like there's family that can get papers or there's some kind of hope for them, but they honestly are scared and I understand there's a lot of things going on right now that makes it worse. But I'm like you have to be your own advocate and I can't do everything for you. Like I'll take them to meetings and I'll take them to go get consultations. I'll do everything that I can in my power, but at the end of the day, it's gonna be them against whoever. Like they have to show up for themselves amongst the judges, amongst whoever they have to go and talk to. But I'll be there if we can be there together, I'll be there. But at the same time, it's like it's really hard and it's really sad because I'm like my uncles and aunts are getting to retirement age and they need to get like figure out what's gonna happen, whether they're gonna be here in Mexico, like. Thank God right now the president that's in Mexico is giving them a lot of hope, a lot of assistance. She's working her way to get them free medical care, free pharmaceuticals, free like it's amazing all the work that she's doing. She's a woman. Like I'm just like damn, I wish to be half as bad as she is. Not bad, but you know what I mean? Like I didn't want to curse.
Yeah.
I want to be a chingona like her one day, you know? But
Yeah, no, but it makes me sad sometimes. I see like other families or like you said, when we go to Mexico, it's just such a different culture and there really is an emphasis on family and caring for one another and helping one another. And we don't have that here. And I know that maybe I'm not saying that I'm perfect. I'm sure some of it is my fault that I don't talk to my parents every day, that I hardly ever talk to my siblings. I know that it's also my fault because it's a two-way street. But I don't know. Like, I feel like once we kind of grew up and everyone went their separate ways, it was just like we weren't a family anymore. You know, like I don't know. Like, it would be nice, right? If
you
one
guys
of
have a
them.
group chat?
No, I mean, we do, but my mom's the only one that will initiate something on the group chat and it'll literally be the same thing every day. Like, hi, mijos, love you. or hi,
Maybe
maybe
you
like
guys
good
should start
night.
taking turns, y'all. Maybe be like, hey, on Tuesday, somebody put on a motivational quote. Somebody sending a reminder or sending like even memes. Like that keeps the thing going.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe that would be a good idea, like for some of us to, but I can't explain it when I
Your
tell you.
brothers are hilarious, girl. You can't tell me they are not gonna come up with cool memes because I know them.
I mean, yeah, they're like funny guys, but I don't know, like I don't feel like they're interested in having a relationship with all of us. I can't explain it, but like nobody tries in that
Yeah.
group chat. And it's kind of exhausting sometimes for one person to always be the one to kind of start a relationship. You know, like I feel like it has to flow, it has to be a two-way street. And I know like my siblings love me. Like I'm not saying they don't. I know they do. I know if I really needed them, they would be there, and vice versa. I think they know that about me as well. But I'm just saying, like, I think it's so sad that we went from being kids who would sleep together, eat together. Like me and my older brother, we would literally use the restroom together, you know, and to
Yeah.
now being people that only text on birthdays and holidays, like it just feels so sad to me, and I don't feel like we talk about it enough. And I think that that is no like it's sad, but I think it is normal in the American lifestyle, because I remember talking to a lot of my friends who were, you know, Caucasian, like older friends. I used to have this neighbor, and she was an older white woman, and she would never talk to her brother ever. And she only had one, but she never ever talked to him. And when I was growing up, I thought that was the weirdest thing. But now I'm like, oh, I guess it's normal. You only talk to them on their birthdays. Like, that's so weird.
It is crazy to me, like for people sometimes, like even when I went to college, they're like, oh, I don't talk to my parents, they live on the other side of the country, and I'm like, what? Like how? I'm like, I can't even live. I left to the Bay Area to live for some period of time, and I was like, I'm missing a part of me, I gotta come back, you know? Like, I don't know, I couldn't do it without my parents being near or my siblings. Like, I'm just that kind of family person. I don't know, that's just part of me. But I don't know how people do it, honestly. Like, but I'm also with you. The phone goes both ways, and that's something that I tell people. Like, you complain when people don't show up for you or whatever, but then also like it works both ways. If you don't tell me, if you don't remind me, I'm a busy person. I tell my best friend this all the time. I'm like, girl, I need to put you on my schedule because if I don't have it down, we don't hang out or I don't see you. Sometimes it goes like even a year without seeing my best friend. I'm like, oh my God, girl, like what happened? You know, even a coffee chat, something like.
Something.
Talk, and she calls me all the time, and I'm like, girl, I don't want it to seem like I'm not invested. I'm just super busy. Y se me va la cabeza. Like, I just forget to call you. But she calls me on her break, so thank God she calls me. However, like my suegra was in Mexico before she passed. She would say, well, nunca me llamas, nunca this, nunca that. And I'm like, not that I don't want to call you. It's just I'm so busy. I forget. Like, I have therapies, I have all these things with the kids, and I forget. Honestly, as long as my husband called his mom, that was all. I was like, okay, that's good. You got it covered. You make sure she's okay. If she needs anything, let me know. Things like that. But she would complain because before when he was living over there, well, I called him all the time. He'd call me all the time. So I would talk to her when he would call. And it's like, I feel like she missed that part, but I was like, it's so hard for me to go out of my way to do it. And then, like, what am I going to talk about? Like, I've run out of ideas, honestly. I don't know.
Yeah, I just like we're so like in the trenches. Like I tell this to my mom, and I am trying to be better because my mom has brought it to all of our attentions how she does feel like we don't check up on her, and we never just text her to see if she's okay. And I've told her, like, Mom, I swear it's not something that I'm doing intentionally. I just feel like I'm so in the trenches of life and like trying to raise my kids and, you know, take them to all of their activities and work, and it's not easy for me to, you know, go over to your house or something, you know. And I've kind of told her, like, you know, you're a grandma, like you don't have any small children anymore, like why don't you come visit us, you know, like you could, or like take my son to karate, or take my daughter to, you know, one of her activities, like that's also a way to spend time with them, you know. So like I said, it goes both ways, but I am trying to be better about just like texting them more, and just if it's just like, hi mom, hope you're having a good day, love you, same thing with my dad. But honestly, like sometimes it'll go like months and I'll be like, gosh, I haven't talked to my parents. Like I forget they have them sometimes.
It's crazy to me because like I've been to so many funerals lately and I'm like, oh my God, I wish I would just have sent them a message. Oh my God, like when was the last time I seen them? I don't know. I don't remember. Like it's just so crazy how here everything's like You're just so, how does it called? Like, you're so focused on what
Tunnel
you need to get
vision, like a
done.
tunnel vision.
Yes, there you go. You have tunnel vision and you're just stuck on what you need to be doing and what you have to get done. And you're like, oh my God, do these people exist? Or they do exist, but you don't know. Like there's times where my mom will be like, oh my God, ya se murió el vecino de quien sabe qué. I'm like, how do you know that? You no lo he visto? I'm like, oh my God, that's a lie. Don't be killing people, please.
Yeah, but I just like there, and there's so much like expectations, especially I feel like put on moms. And also not even that, but like there's a lot of mom shaming too that happens, and it's almost, I don't know, like I don't see that same mentality when it comes to dads. And I would, this is why I would love, like I would love, if you are a dad and you are listening to this episode, please email us, please like do like come on the podcast. We want to have you on. Because I would love to talk to like fathers about this thing, this issue, or this, I don't know, this topic that we're talking about. Because I do feel like there's, and maybe it's just because I'm a mom, so I don't really know the expectations that are put on fathers, other than, you know, that they're supposed to provide and things like that. Because I do see that with my husband. There's like this huge, you know, expectation for him to provide. But like for us, I feel like, you know, for example, if we were working at a company, we would have to figure out, okay, I have to take today off because I have to take them to the doctor. Or, oh, they're sick. Like I can't, I have to call in sick, you know? So I don't really see that a lot from dads, you know, like that's not been my experience. And I'm like, why don't we have these same expectations for dads that we do for moms?
Yeah, girl, tell me about it. So, you know how we got a dog? And this morning I was like, I heard noise and I heard noise. And I was like, what is going on? Well, it was the dog moving the cage across the living room. And I was like, what is going on with this dog? So I was like, he's probably out there. Well, he had Elodie's presents from her birthday party all over the floor, everything. Like, he put them in his cage. And then Elodie comes out. And she's like, why does he have my present? Oh my God, blah, blah. I'm like, oh my God. So I run out. There's a huge mess. I'm like, great. And then I text my husband. I'm like, did I not ask you to check the dog before you leave? And then he was like, oh, I'm sorry. I was running late. I'm like, well, here's your mess. And I took a picture. I'm like, look. Now you have a lot of stuff to do when you come home. You get to fix this area. Like, dude, I already have a whole list to do. And it's not, I mean, he helps me. Thank God he helps me, you know? I just need to be vocal. And then, but there's just times where I'm just like, the societal expectations can be heavy, even though there's not like within our household, he helps me, you know? Thank God. But at the same time, like, society, cultural expectations, different things that come around. And then they're like, oh, pues está ayudando. Or this one. I'm like, that's how we are. We both work, and he has his fair share, and he helps me. Thank God he helps me, because I don't know how I would do it by myself.
Yeah, but I feel like, for example, I know a couple who they both work. Okay, they both work out of the home, but the woman doesn't really do a lot of the cooking. The man does most of the cooking, and I'll hear comments from other people and even women. They'll be like, "Oh, es una huevona. Like she's so lazy." And I'm like, "But why?" You know, like I don't understand. If we're supposed to be partners, like why can't we help each other out? Like if I'm better at cooking, then maybe I do the cooking and you help me wash the dishes or vice versa. You know, like why does it always have to be most of the time, not always, but most of the time, why are women expected to take care of everything in the home and including the children? You know, and I tell my daughter this all the time. And I tell her like these are why that you ha need to have these conversations before, like when you're in the dating stage, you need to have these conversations. You need to outline exactly what you want. Like, do you want them to help you cook? Do you want them to help you take out the trash? How do they feel about cleaning the toilets? You know, like I never had these conversations before I got married. You know, and when I got married, I quickly realized that I was expected to do it all. You know, and so my daughter kind of sees that I do everything, and she'll be like, "Mom, but like, why do you always have to do everything?" And I'm like, "Well, I didn't have these conversations, and now it's kind of not that it's too
Expected,
late, but
right?
I feel like, yeah, but I feel like I'm not my husband's mother, and I don't want to be the person telling him what he needs to do. Like, I'm not his mother. He already had a mother, and she already raised him. Like, that's not my job to raise someone. And so that's why I tell my daughter, like, if you can find someone who's already been raised in a way that you kind of expect them to be, you know, like maybe they clean up after themselves, they wash the dishes, blah, blah, blah. That'll make your life so much easier because then you don't have to be nagging them. Like, I don't want to be nagging my husband. I don't want to feel like I'm his mother. But at the same time, I understand when you're saying, like, He'll do it, but he has to be told, you
Yeah,
know?
but because he's not expected. Like, the same thing. Like, he comes from
Yeah.
Mexico, so he didn't have to do those things. Like, his mom did everything for this guy. Like, he would have his lunch, his snack, his break, everything, whatever he wanted to eat every single day. I'm like, she put a high bar up here where I'm just like, I'm working. I can't be doing that every 5 minutes. Like, I'll go buy you a snack. I'll go do this. But I honestly don't have the time to cook all day. Like, she didn't work, which is
Yeah.
how she was able to do
Yeah.
everything. But for me, I'm like, I can't do that. I work and I have to help my kids and I have all this stuff going on. And I feel like it's cultural too, you know, like the
Yeah.
woman does everything in the house. So I feel like I like also communication. I know that you're saying you don't want to be his mom, but also I was in that mindset as well. But it's like, if si no, what is it? El que no habla, Dios no escucha, or something like that. Like,
Yeah.
if you don't tell him, hey, you know what, as we evolutionize and as we change, we can change our expectations as well. And I need you to help me here. Like, it's taking me much more time to do this. So I would love it if you could help me do this.
Yeah.
Like, find some kind of balance, because also, like, my husband helps me clean. If there's going to be a party and I have a million things, I always have a million things to do. He already knows that. But if I'm going to have a party and people are coming over, I deep clean and he knows that. So he'll get started. He'll help me with the dishes. He'll do laundry. Like, he'll make sure that everything is as easy as it is for me, which I'm very thankful for. But I don't have to tell him. Like, he'll do it.
Yeah. No, and I would have to tell him, like, keep telling him, like, you know, can you help me with this? Can you help me with this? Can you help me with this? And it's like constantly. And that's why I'm saying, like, I feel like there's some men who are very open to kind of not being told what to do, because I don't think you're like telling them what to do, but maybe you're just asking him, like, hey, can you clean this for me, or can you help me with this? And I do feel like there are some men that are very open to those conversations, but then there are some men that are really old school and they're just not as open to having those conversations.
Yeah, that could be true too. It's just, I feel like it's hard. I see that with, like, my grandma's not a man, but she's very close-minded, and I'm like, Grandma, we're in 2024. She's like, yeah, I was born in 1929, 100, almost 100 years ago. Like, I'm like, oh my God, that's so true. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of people like they have that old school mentality where the woman is just expected to do everything and the guys aren't. And even with my son, I mean, he's almost 9 and I make him take out the trash and he helps me with dusting. You know, he helps me vacuum sometimes. Like he helps me put, like if he doesn't help me wash the dishes yet because I don't feel comfortable with him in glass. And he's not as like tall to reach the sink yet, but he will once he's older. But I'm like, you know, pick up your plate from the table, like, and I have to be constantly telling him these things, but I'm doing it because I want him to be self-sufficient and know that that's not just a woman's job. Like he has to be responsible for the home just as much as the woman does. And even if she doesn't work, like, you know what I'm saying? Stay-at-home moms are exhausted too. So it's like at the end of the day, they want to relax as well. So I think once the husband comes home, he kind of has to pick up the slack and help out, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And that's why I was laughing when you were talking about the toilets and blah, blah, blah,
Yeah.
because I would literally told my son this morning, because he made a mess. I don't remember what he was doing, but before he went to school, he made a mess and he was complaining about how I'm so mean and how I put him to do something with his bed and clean up his clothes and all this stuff. He nags about everything when I tell him to do something. And then I was like, well, guess what? When you get home, you're cleaning both toilets and you're cleaning the dog's poop. Oh, that's what it was. He didn't want to clean up after the dog. And I was like, well, then when you get home, you're cleaning up your own stuff you leave in the bathroom and the dog's. So pick your choice. You clean out or you clean in later. Like,
Yeah.
but they're so bad. Like, I have to be nagging, like you're saying. So I get so mad that
Yeah.
I'm just like, I'm gonna do it myself, and I do it. But then I'm like, no, they need to learn, because my mom always tells me, like, ask it that you then, because all my brothers are self-sufficient. And I'm like, that's another thing. Like, they shouldn't expect the other person to help them. If they want to live by themselves, they're gonna have to do it all. And that's very true, because when my cousins came from Mexico and they came to live with us when I was younger, they didn't know how to do anything. And so then they had to learn how to go wash their clothes in the was in my lavanderia or in our washers, and they didn't know how to do anything or fold their clothes or, you know, planchar and all the basic stuff. My mom wasn't home all the time, so she wasn't going to cook for the whole family. So they had to make their own lunch and they had to learn how to do everything.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. We do have to make them self-sufficient, and I am really big on that. A question that I wanted to ask you is, for like we were saying about your son, because he wasn't listening, you know, so you were kind of saying like, oh, well, when you get home, you're gonna have to do this. So like with punishment, do you feel like the crime should always fit the punishment? Do you know what I mean?
don't know. It's hard. Like for me, I tell him this stuff, but I know his capacity, you know? Like he'll clean the mirror and he'll do this, lo va a dejar todo al revés, and then I'm like, my OCD is like, I gotta go clean it. But then I'm like, no, that's how they learn. Like that's why I don't let them wash the dishes all the time either, because they leave food on there and they still have to go wash it. But it's like that's how we learn, you know? So I don't know. I don't know about the crime match. I think for him it's a little bit harder. I'm a little bit more lenient because he is a little bit more delayed. But with my middle son, he's very on top of everything. So yes, if he like punishment wise or discipline wise, I do try to make sure he understands what's going on and why the cause and effect relationship. But make sure that he does understand y se arrepiente, you know.
I'm trying to learn to be a little bit better about like punishing my kids and making sure that it's kind of like for me that it kind of fits the crime, that it makes sense. Like, for example, let's say my son, if I tell him 10 times, like, put on a sweater because we're going to go to the store and you're going to be cold. If he doesn't listen and then we're at the store and he's freezing, I'm like, well, that's your fault because you should have brought a sweater. You know, like it's kind of, I'm not going to like necessarily baby him that much anymore. And then with my daughter, something happened the other day at school. Her dance teacher kind of got upset about something that she did. So then when she got, the teacher messaged me. And so when my daughter got home, I was, upset. It wasn't anything crazy. It was just like, I don't know, it was something dumb. Like she went into the dance room and the teacher wasn't there, and she didn't realize that the teacher wasn't there because they have like a locker room. So she kind of went in through the locker room and she was putting away her stuff, and then her teacher got there and was like really pissed and saying like, why are you here? You're not allowed to be here when I'm not here. And she was like, well, I come in here every day at lunch and I bring my stuff, and I didn't know that you weren't in the classroom because I didn't go into the classroom yet. So but the teacher was really upset, so she emailed me about it. And at first I was like really upset. I'm like, okay, so how am I gonna, what's her punishment going to be? Because yeah, she does need to be kind of punished, but it wasn't anything crazy. So my first initial reaction was like, oh, I'm not going to let her go to the mall on Saturday with her friends because she was going to go to the mall. But then when she got home, I kind of told her that. And she's like, Mom, she's like, but that doesn't make any sense. Like, I didn't really do anything that terrible. And going to the mall with my friends has nothing to do with what happened at school. And I'm like, oh my gosh, she's so much smarter than me. I'm
My
like, you're
kids.
right. Yeah. I'm like, you're right. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you really didn't do anything that bad. I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. Even though you're not going to like it, you're going to write a handwritten note to your teacher about, how sorry you are, that it's never going to happen again, and the steps that you're going to take for next time so that this doesn't happen again, right? And I want to read the letter. So she did. She was mad because she was like not happy with her teacher and she didn't want to do it, but she did it. And so she wrote the letter. It was a really nice letter. She showed it to me, perfect, gave it to the teacher. And so kind of just like working on that, I'm trying to be better about that with my kids.
Yeah, because honestly, like I run out of time when like things are going on that I'm just like, okay, guys, you get your punishment. Like you have to go do this, you have to go do these chores. But it's like I don't know that that fits the crime. You know what I mean? Like it's just castigándolos en una manera, but it does has nothing to do with it. Like she said, like so we need to figure out how we're gonna punish them, like or discipline them with whatever they're doing wrong. So a lot of the times, what I do, like if they do something at school or they're fighting, I'm like, go and say sorry. And would you like that if they did that to you? Like now you have to tell them I didn't like it. I'm sorry. I understood you didn't like it because.
But and I think it's different too because when they're little, like
Yeah.
I think the discipline that I'm gonna have with my son, who's not, almost 9, is very different than the discipline that I'm gonna have with my daughter,
Yes.
who's almost 18.
Oh my
Like it's just
God.
like, I know it's so crazy, but it's just like such a different, time period for both of them. So I can't punish them the same way. And that
Yes.
just goes into how we have to have different ways to parent each of our children, right? So because they're all really, really different. But I am trying to find like balance about like how much freedom do I give her? Because she's like almost, she'll be 18 in like 8 months. And that just seems so crazy to me. So it's like we're trying to get her to be independent, but at the same time, she's, still to us, she's still a child. So I'm trying to find this like balance of, how much freedom do I give her? Like, how much do I let her go and how much do I still pull her in?
Yeah, that's hard. I don't know what I'm gonna do when I get there, but I can only imagine and. Wish for the best because I don't know what I'm gonna do because yeah, my girl is 5 going on 15 and she tells me what to do and like it's crazy. I'm like, no, you didn't. That's not how it works here. These are my rules, honey. It's not your house. So yes, it is. These are my cars. These are my house. These are, I'm like, no, girl. This is not your house and these are not your cars.
That's funny because that's my son. He's like, but why? And but why? And like, he just questions everything I do.
Oh, yes.
Ugh, and I just want to pull my hair out, you know?
My middle son tells me that. My oldest one is like, oh, you can say whatever you want, but I'm not gonna do it. I'm like, yes, you are. Yes, you are. Even though you're crying, you're nagging, you're gonna do it. And my middle one is like, yeah, tell me why though. I'm like, can you stop asking questions, honey? I know you're very. That's another thing that I'm like, society really tells them to adventure and it's good for them to learn everything. But I'm like, to what point? Because like sometimes they're all asking a million questions. I'm like, we need to research this, honey. I don't know. I don't know everything. Remember, I don't know everything. You're smarter than I am.
And what are some of the like rules that you have in your house, like for your kids?
I do really simple basic rules like be respectful, clean up after yourself. Not that they do all the time, but be cordial and help me wherever you can. Just like simple stuff, be nice to each other, appreciate, and then we pray and go to church and just a million different, I don't know, things that
Yeah,
go on in this household, but we try to pray as much as we can. My mom's always on them too. She's like, come on, Arasa, antes de dormir. Or they sleep over there, they're praying with her. And just, I don't know, just clean up after yourself in the toilet. I'm just kidding. Those boys, I tell you.
oh, those boys. No, I may, yeah, if my son leaves like pee marks all over the I don't know, it's not the C part, but you know what I mean. I make him go back into the bathroom with the Clorox wipe and he's gonna clean it. I'm like, you need to clean after you pee every single time. Just clean it. Like, no te cuesta nada. Just grab some toilet paper and just clean it. You know, like I want him to get into that habit because it's like the ugh, boys, I
Boys, I
can't
tell
deal with all
you.
the pee everywhere.
What about you? What are your rules?
Same, just like really basic things, you know, be kind. What is it? The ones at school, be kind, be respectful, be
Be
responsible. I
safe.
think those are like the biggest ones. And also, like, honesty is really big for me. If my kids are honest with me, their punishment is gonna be a lot less. And I always like if my son, I can't remember what he did the other day, but he did so, it was also something just like insignificant. Oh, I know what it was. I remember. He figured out the password to his iPad. And I have a password on his iPad because he's not allowed to use it for more than an hour a day. So 1 hour each day he can use his iPad. And so it has a password on it. Well, he figured it out. I don't know how the heck this child figured it out, but he figured it out. And it comes up to me and he's like, Mom, I want to tell you something. He's like, I figured out your password to your iPad, to the iPad. And I was like, you did? And he showed it to me. And I was like, oh, I was like, no, what? Like, thank you so much for being so honest with me. That is like the fact that you were honest makes me so happy. Like, I really praise him for it, being honest. I was like, you know, but you know, mommy's gonna have to change it. So and he's like, okay. But like I couldn't believe that he was honest with me. And I'm like, that's like the biggest thing. Like if my kids can be honest with me, I'm not gonna like, yeah, I might be upset by what they did, but I'm not gonna like yell or scream or, you know, give them this like crazy punishment because I really, really want them to learn the value of being honest individuals and do the right thing when no one's watching. Like that's like a big thing also in our house. I listened to a reel right on Instagram. Somebody posted it on their stories and I saw it, but it really resonated with me. I tried screen recording it because I was like, ooh, I could maybe, you know, people could like listen to it, but my phone was being dumb and I didn't have enough time. But it was basically saying how your kids are more likely to value your opinion if they feel like you're listening to them and that you have like sympathy for what they're telling you. Like, for example, if they want to go to a party and you're just like, no, well, you can't go because of X, Y, and Z. The parent expert on this reel was kind of saying, like, you should ask them more questions about what their intentions are. Like, why do they want to go to this party? So that they feel like you're understanding where they're coming from as well, you know? And then even at the end, you might come to the same conclusion, but at least they felt heard and they felt seen. And it wasn't just like an because I said so kind of a moment.
Yeah, I mean, I can see how they feel relatable to you, or that you understand, even though
Yeah.
you give them the same answer. But it's like
Yeah.
I guess giving it the logic, or looking at
Yeah.
the logical side of it, and it's really resonating with them. And I don't know, but that makes sense in my brain. Like, I just feel like I was always told, like, no, porque yo dije ya.
Yeah. I just feel like it makes you see like the humanity in them and that they are a person and an individual and not just like your child. You know, like it's that you're kind of really hearing them. And like I said, I think it's important to feel seen and to feel heard. And so maybe that's kind of where it's coming from. It's like you're really just trying to understand why they want to go do that and not just say, you know, no. You know, like there's a conversation involved because if you just start judging them, like, oh, well, I don't want you to go because you're going to be drinking and you're going to be doing drugs or whatever, you know, it's like you're automatically judging them. You know, you're already thinking they're going to make these bad decisions and maybe that's not even their intention. And then that just escalates things, you know, because then they get on the defensive end. And so I really do feel like that's a really good point to kind of hear them, you know, like really hear them and really listen to them. And even if at the end, it's still the same answer, but at least you guys had a really good conversation out of it and it wasn't just so one-sided.
Yeah, I agree.
So Valentine's Day is right around the corner, and I feel like a lot of people have this like love-hate relationship with Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
So how do you feel about Valentine's Day? Do you guys do anything?
We'll do like a dinner, go out to dinner, or I'll buy something for him and he'll buy something for me. But for the kids, it's always fun because we get like all their Valentine's Day cards and they love the day. I always make them dress up like with red or something that goes with the vibe. And they enjoy the day. They have fun that day. They look forward to it. It's like a party day at school, kind of. But for like my husband and I, usually like we go out to eat, but we take the kids with us, so it's not like a one-on-one day. But it's, I don't know. I enjoy that day. But also at the same time, like I enjoy going out with them all the time. Like it's not just Valentine's Day, which is another thing that I do hear. Like, why do we only recognize people on Valentine's Day? Like we should be thanking them every single day because la flor se riega todos los días, no nomás, you know, on Valentine's Day.
I agree. Yeah, you should be wanting to show people love and all year round, right? And the people that you love, you should be showing them love them all year round, not just on Valentine's Day. Yeah, I've never been like a big Valentine's Day girly either. I actually never like to go out and eat on Valentine's Day because it is so hectic. I usually just cook like a really nice dinner here at home for my husband and my kids and I usually bake like a heart-shaped cake.
That's so cool.
And so they have a lot of fun. But this year we are doing something, just my husband and I. We're going to this thing in Vallejo, California, and it's called the Meat Carnival.
Wow.
I don't know if you've ever heard. I had never
I
heard of it.
think I heard of it. Was it here? I think it was at the fairgrounds here or somewhere. I saw it somewhere last
Oh,
year.
yeah, I think they have different venues throughout, but on Valentine, I saw somebody shared it on their stories and I just clicked on it. I saw what it was. It sounded really interesting to me. It's on Valentine's Day. And this year Valentine's Day is on a Friday, so I just really wanted to go to this event. Like not necessarily because I was fine doing what we normally do, but I am trying. We talked about this when we did our vision board. I'm trying to be intentional about doing more dates with my husband, like really dating one another. And so I thought that it was a good way to get out and have a date. And I asked him, and my husband loves meat. He's a big meat eater. So I was like, hey, do you want to go to this event? It looks really cool. They have like eight different chefs, and each chef is at a station, and each chef makes like six different, not meals, but like cooks a certain meat a certain way, you know, like like maybe they make ribs or I don't know, pork loin or something. And so they do like six different things at their stations, and you walk to each station and you try everything that they have at that station. So it's like unlimited food and drink. So it is for people over 21. And it's like at a kind of secret, not secret location, but they don't tell you where it's going to be until a few days before they email you the location. And so I know where it is now. I'm not going to say, but it's yeah, so I'm really excited. I'll let you know how it goes, but I'm just excited to like just go on a date with my husband. But I would have done that on any day, even if it wasn't on Valentine's Day, but it just so happened that it fell on Valentine's Day, so it's good. But yeah, I agree. I think some people have like this love-hate relationship where they just like they I feel like you either love the day or you hate it.
Yeah. I'm a little mix of it, but I mean, I hate, like you're saying, the concentration of people at restaurants and things like that. Like, it makes it a little inconvenient. But we try to go to places that aren't always like jam-packed. I mean, it's hard to find on Valentine's Day, but if it's packed, we just drive somewhere else and make it work. But the kids always choose like where we end up going. Like, one time we went to Olive Garden, and we did end up waiting because they love that place. But depending on where we're going.
And then you can't do reservations for Olive Garden
No.
here, I know, which sucks. I'm like, why
Yeah.
can't we do a reservation? It would make, but then again, imagine how many people would serve on.
Yes, yes. So for that day, is it an all-day thing or is it in the afternoon?
No, it's in the evening. I think it starts at like 6 or something like that.
Okay.
So yeah, we're gonna leave right after I pick up the kids from school, drop them off and head over there. I do kind of feel bad. That's a thing, you know, this mom guilt. It's like I'm going on this date with my husband, but then all I'm thinking about is, oh my gosh, I'm gonna leave my kids on Valentine's Day, and I always like to make them feel special as well. But then I have to remind myself, like, I make my kids feel special and loved every day, so it's not like they don't know that I love them and care about them every single day.
Yeah,
But
or
like
maybe getting them
Valentine's Day,
something.
yeah, and Valentine's Day is a fun day for them too, because they have like fun at school
That's
and
cool.
yeah.
So it's
So
your fun time.
yeah. The day will be their fun time at school, and then the evening my fun time with my husband.
Yeah, or just leave them like a little heart, or like heart, I don't know if they eat chocolates or not, like a little balloon with a little chocolate heart on a float, or I don't know, something before you leave.
Yeah.
Like, so when you drop them off, they have something at home, and then you can have time off. But it's
Yeah,
hard, I
so I,
know.
yeah, it's really hard. But I did tell them I'm gonna like DoorDash some food so they get to like eat it. They can still, you know, have something that they enjoy and eat it here at home. And
Yeah.
I'm gonna get them like some chocolates or something for sure. Yeah, to kind of make them feel like they're part of the celebration.
Yeah, it's hard. The mom guilt is bad.
The mom guilt is bad. And then I wanted to tell you this like really funny story. So my son comes home and he has this crush on this girl in her class, and she's so cute, such a cute girl. And he's like, Mom, I don't want to say her real name, so I'll just call her Betty. And
Okay.
he's like, Mom, Betty asked me if I would be her Valentine, and I said yes. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like how sweet, you know, that's so nice. And then he's like, well, I think I should buy her something. Don't you think we should go to the store and buy her something? And I'm like, so part of me is kind of torn because I'm on one side, I'm like, dude, you're in third grade. Like, you're not, we're not
Yeah.
having girlfriends. We're not dating. Like, this isn't happening,
Yeah.
right? And then, so my first initial reaction was kind of like, no, like you, if you want to buy her something, you need to go work with your dad and you need to buy her something, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I also want to teach him the value. But then I'm like, oh, am I being harsh? Like, it is just something, like, it's such a cute little thing. It's not something like, you know, mischievous or anything like that. So he has money because he had worked with his dad over the summer. So he has money. And we went to the zoo and they were selling these like pins. And there was one of a panda. And I guess the little Betty, the little girl, she loves pandas. So he's like, Mom, can I buy her that pin of a panda? And I was like, okay. I said, but when we get home, you're gonna, because it was $2. I was like, when we get home, I'm like, you're gonna have to take out your $2 from your savings and, you know, give it back to your dad, because that's, you know, if you want to buy it for her, that's fine. And he's like, okay. So I'm like, okay, I'm still letting him buy her a gift. It's something very innocent, very sweet. But at the same time, he's learning the value of, you know, working hard and buying his girl a special thing.
That is so awesome. Well, I did like the Valentine's Day card shopping, I think it was last month, and the store was full of Valentine's Day stuff. So the kids each picked out their Valentine's Day cards, and then last year, I think it was for Christmas, we each got them like their buddy a gift, their teacher a gift. And so this time they're like, "Oh, what am I getting my buddy?" And I was like, "I don't know, whatever you want." And then I don't think we did end up getting anything, but they didn't find anything that was like sticking out to them. But when we went to Mexico, they got each of their buddies something to come when we came back, to give back to them. And Brian brought, what the heck was it, like a little chick. So my middle son brought her a little chick, and the buddy is happens to be my niece's best friend. And so when we went to culture night last Friday at their school, the little girl was outside playing with my niece, and then he had the little chick, and he had been wanting to give it to her all day. He took it to school, and then he's like, she already left, so now I can't give it to her. But he wanted me to go with him to give it to her, and I'm like, You're old enough, honey. You don't need me. I'm right here. Like, go to where she's at. She's getting out of her class. Give it to her then. And he's like so shy. He's like, Mom, come with me. And I'm like, I can't because your sister's running around on this side. So I had to be here with her. And then she ended up leaving. So at culture night, we did see her. And he's like, Mom, come with me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm right here. Go. You know, like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you. And I don't know. I'm like, maybe he has a crush on her, but it's because my husband always tells him, like, Esta novia, you know, he always messes with him, and so he's like, no, he's not my girlfriend or whatever. But that day he was so embarrassed, he didn't know when to give it to her, and then my husband was like, pues ve con la sobrina to go give it to her, and he was like, no, I'm too shy, whatever. And then she went inside and she was leaving, and I'm like, Brian, she's leaving, she is about to leave, you need to go and give it to her. So then we go, and then he's literally standing right next to her, he didn't want to move, and then I'm like, okay, he's like, can you turn away? I'm like, so then why do you need me here? Like, I don't understand.
Oh, it's so cute when they're
I'm
at that.
like, these kids.
Yeah, it's like they're so innocent. So I'm like, part of me is like, I don't want to be like, what is it? What's the word? There's a word in Spanish that you say when somebody anda de alcahueta.
Oh, yeah.
Like I'm like,
Sonsacón? Yeah.
yeah. I'm like, I don't want to be like that. Like I'm not trying to encourage my third grader to date or anything like that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm like, I don't know, it's part of life and they have these little crushes and it's very innocent. And I'm like, if you could, if you really care about this, little girl and, like, why not let him make her feel special on one day? Like it's something.
Cute though, he's very thoughtful.
Yeah, he's hilarious. He's, like your daughter, but he's 9 going on 19. Like it's just like,
Yeah, my oldest, he's what? He's gonna be 12.
oh wow.
He's turning 12 next month, but he is like on another one. He found a little girl in Mexico when we went, I think it was 2 years ago. So every time we go to Mexico, he's like, what am I gonna take her? And what am I gonna take her? And I'm like, he gets there, same thing. He's so shy, and they're like each trying to avoid each other. And I'm like, you guys are so so friendly. But then I'm like, no, he cannot have a girlfriend. Like, he cannot grow up on me.
It's so crazy when they start dating. It's like the craziest thing. It's yeah, I
They're
don't know.
so little. I'm like, no, you're not.
Yeah. I mean, we have this issue with like my daughter all the time 'cause she's 17 and she is talking to this boy and he texted my husband.
Oh,
Of
yes.
I know. Yeah. He like texted my husband. And, very sweet, very respectful. And I was like, I really care about your daughter. Like, I want to, come talk to you and your wife. Like, kind of like asking for permission to date her, which I love. Like, if you want to gain your suegra's
Yeah.
points with your
This is the way
suegra,
to go.
that's the way to go, boys. Yes. And it's very rare. There's not a lot of boys like this,
No.
but I have told my daughter, like, when you find a guy, like a man, like they have to fight for you. They have to, like we want them to ask for permission to date you, like they with good intentions. But also you need like a strong man because my husband's a very strong man and he can look scary. Like he's not that scary once you get to know him, but he can look scary. I'm like,
Yeah.
so you need a man that's brave. Like you need who's brave and who's gonna fight for you and who's gonna like have the, I don't want to say the word, but you know what I'm talking about,
Yeah, los cajones.
yes, to come talk to him,
Yeah.
and show his face.
Yeah.
And my husband, like, he responded like, let me think about it.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, we need
Keep
like,
us updated.
I'll keep you guys updated. We haven't met him yet, but I'm like, I'm willing. I'm excited. Not excited. Not that I'm like excited, but I'm willing to meet him. I'm open to meet him. I realize it's part of life. Our daughter's
Yeah.
17, she's almost gonna be 18. Like she's gonna be dating. It's part of life. But my husband has just a
It's so
harder time
hard.
with it because that's his only daughter.
Yeah.
That's his princess. That's the most important little girl in his life. And so it's very, very hard for him. So pray for my husband, pray for my daughter, and I'll keep you all posted. I'll let you know what happens.
All right. I'm excited. I know it's a transition for you, but
Yeah.
it's part of life, like you're saying, and she's growing up. It's so crazy beyond our eyes. Like, I remember when she was still, like, you were still barely about to have her, so.
No, feels like yesterday that I was pregnant with her, but no, she's almost. an adult, a full grown adult.
It's so crazy for me. Like I feel like we only see the time go by because they get so grown.
And like in pictures,
Closer.
and sometimes people that she hasn't seen in a long time, like the other day she went to the mall with her friends and she saw some people from my family, and she was like, "Mom, well, I wanted to say hi, but they didn't say hi to me first." And I'm like, "Well, they probably don't even recognize you. I mean, you don't look like the little girl you looked like a few years ago." So it's like they grow up so fast, and then you see the pictures and you're like, "Oh my gosh, they have grown up." But for us parents, it's kind of, I don't know, like it's just weird. It's just like weird. Nobody prepares you for when your kids grow up.
Yeah, nobody does.
Yeah.
Nobody's
So
ready.
interesting thing. Did you watch the Super Bowl?
I did. I watched it in parts, but I did rewatch everything on, the little clips on Reels.
Yeah. I don't really watch the Super Bowl, but I saw it everywhere. It's like everywhere,
Yeah.
everywhere, everywhere. I just watched the halftime show because I always like to watch the halftime show. Like no matter who performs, like that's the only thing I care to watch is the halftime show. So I
Yeah.
did watch the halftime show. I know some people love it, some people hate it. I really liked it. I thought it was cool. Way to make a statement for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, no, I didn't actually watch the game itself, and I don't even know who won. I think the
The
Eagles, is that
Eagles
who won?
won. Yeah. It's just so interesting to me because I don't watch football, but we were at my grandpa's for his birthday, celebrating a day before, and my uncles are really football fans, so we were all watching the show, and my uncle was like, "We've been waiting for an hour and it hasn't started yet." So we were sitting there where we were conversating, and then we saw the beginning, and then when I came home, I saw the halftime show. Like I saw clips of them, and then I didn't sit there and watch the whole TV. I don't know. I just football takes forever for me to watch. Unless I'm at the actual game, I don't think I'll really watch it.
Yeah, I didn't
Well,
run. I'm not a big sports person either. I don't really care about any sports. The only thing that I did see is that I guess people were booing like Taylor Swift.
yeah. Oh, I didn't see that. I just saw that it was a high risk event. I didn't realize that the streets were closed because Trump was going to be there. I was like, that's so crazy. Like
Oh, yeah.
everybody was watching the Super Bowl at the same time. So if something were to ever have happened, like that would have been wild. But I think it was really something that everybody was worried about, that something could have happened. But that halftime show was. I loved it too. Like a way to make a statement, way to make your point across. And a lot of the stuff, is coming to light with all the political stuff that's going on. And I don't like to get into political stuff, but it's right before our eyes. How do we just stay quiet,
Yeah, but I like that it was like very subtle. Like it wasn't loud,
Yeah.
it wasn't anything crazy. He didn't make any statements. But it was very subtle. Like if you pay attention, I think everything's there. So
Yeah.
I really like that. It just speaks to the fact that he's an artist and he really uses his music to get his artistry across, which I respect. I think that's so cool. No matter where you fall into the political spectrum, I think we can all respect when somebody really uses their art to I don't know, like to tell a story,
Yeah,
right?
the storytelling was great.
Yeah, the storytelling was great. The imagery was great. I really liked it. But yeah, no, I thought it was crazy that everyone was like bullying Taylor Swift. I'm like, why does everyone, my daughter was like, Mom, why does everyone hate her? And I'm like, I don't know. Well, we're big Swifties. I love Taylor
Yeah.
Swift. So I don't understand why there's so much hate around Taylor Swift, but I guess it's just, I don't know. I told my daughter, I was like, maybe it's because people just don't like successful women. Yeah, I don't know. I
Yeah,
don't
I
know.
think it also has to do with like all the political party that was there and like all their attention and everybody wanting the Chiefs to win, and she's part of the Chiefs family. So I don't know. I think it's hard to be in the eye, when you're in these kind of events, because where's her personal life? It's all mixed in with everybody's public eye. So
Yeah, but I'm like, I mean, she's a human. Like, why? She has every right to be there. Like, she's just supporting her partner. I think anyone would have done that. You know, anyone would be there to support the person that they love and they care about. And, you know, like, what's so wrong about that? And also, I think, aren't the Eagles from Philadelphia or Pennsylvania?
Philadelphia, I think, yeah.
Yeah, and so she's from Pennsylvania. So it's like, you know, she could have also been there, yeah, for her boyfriend and the Chiefs, but also to support her home team. Like, we don't really know, but I just thought that was sad. But I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but I did watch the halftime show and I thought it was great.
I
So,
felt the same.
yeah, anything else that you want to, any thoughts?
Oh, I think that's it. I think we just have to work on ourselves, and like, even though there's society expectations and cultural expectations, everything coming into the mix, whether it's a holiday or whatever, like, water your plants every day, be there for whoever is there for you, or whoever you're whoever you love and value, and just do what you can because everybody's situation is different. And as much as expectations can be there, they can be very heavy and the pressure can be real. So do what's best for you. And I hope everyone has a great day. Thank you for tuning in. And let us know if you guys have any tips or tricks on how to go about this parenting, struggling, discipline, things of that nature. Give us some tips and tricks, and we can't wait to hear from you.
Yeah, thank you guys so much for tuning in. I think a fun little segment that we would love to do is kind of if anyone would be willing to write in to us and let us know, maybe some fears that you guys have overcome lately, or maybe ways that you've gotten out of your comfort zone or anything like that. Like, we would love to have like segments where we could read, our viewers' messages that they send us. So, or even feedback that you guys have from these episodes. So please, send us your comments, your messages, your emails. And thank you guys. I know the expectations can be really hard, but I think at the end of the day, for me, your intentions are everything. So it's like if your heart is in the right place, if you're just trying to do the right thing, like that's really all you can do. There, I'm so over like this whole mom shaming and parent shaming and whatever. Like, we're all in this together. Being a parent is so hard. Nobody gives us a manual, or just being a freaking human is hard. And nobody has all the answers. So, like, let's show love and grace to everyone. But we love you guys. We hope you all have a great week. Please follow us on Instagram, on TikTok, on YouTube. Like, subscribe, comment, and we will see you all next week.
Thank you guys for tuning in. We'll see you guys
Bye.
next time. Bye.